in association with the AgriHealth Network, it's time for That Farm Life podcast, Planting Hope, Harvesting Strength. On That Farm Life, we talk about that life that is that of a farmer and their family. It's about the day-to-day grind, the good times, the tough times, and everything in between, because farming is more than a job, it's a way of life. And we're here to offer opportunities to help you deal with the stress and strains of farm life through faith, family, and community with other farmers. Now, here's your host, a farmer, a former agribusiness owner, and also the pastor of a Southern Baptist church in Arkansas, Archie Mason.
Hey folks, this is Archie Mason, your host of That Farm Life Podcast. Welcome to another episode. We are so glad that you have chosen to join us today. If you're unfamiliar with AgriHealth, we have a website, agrihealth.net. We encourage you to check that out. Got a lot of resources there. You can learn a lot of things about us and who we are and what this network is about. And so we are here, as I stated, we're at the Arkansas Baptist State Convention. I have a good friend with me that's here. His name is Bobby Thomas. He is the Chief Executive Officer, President, Grand Poobah, whatever you must say, of Arkansas Baptist Foundation.
Let's just stop with President and CEO. Let's just stop there.
Whatever other titles that you may have. So, Bobby, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, glad to be here. It's an exciting time. State Convention is always a fun time to reconnect with friends, and we're having a great meeting down in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and so glad to be here.
Hey, that's right. And, man, tell us about the foundation, because a lot of folks are listening to this. They may be familiar with some of the Baptist life, but may not even really know about what the Baptist Foundation, what you do.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so the Arkansas Baptist Foundation was created by the Arkansas Baptist State Convention in 1949. So we're going on 75 years.
And that's pretty
old. Yep, going on 75 years. I'm the sixth president, the first non-pastor. So I don't know. You can figure out what that means later. But and so
hey, that's probably a good thing, Bobby.
Well, it may be in this environment. So we are a staff full of mostly folks that are trained in secular professions, but we feel called to serve pastors in local churches. And so we have a CPA on staff. We have an attorney on staff. We've got folks familiar with church administration, stewardship, scholarship administration. And so really all our folks are bringing a set of skills that oftentimes our churches could really use. Most of our churches don't have the ability to staff in these areas. And even if they did, it would be hard to kind of stay current. And so our job is to really stay up on those things in such a way that we can come around pastors in our churches and really support them. And what we try to say is serve, advise, encourage. So we want to serve them the best way we can. We want to give them advice in areas where we're gifted and equipped. And hopefully that will encourage them with a degree of confidence that they wouldn't have ordinarily had as they choose to make decisions in their local context.
Okay, well, tell me this. And you mentioned that, hey, you are the sixth president.
Yep.
In all these years, but you're a non-pastor. So what did you do? What's your background? What did you do before you started leading the foundation?
Sure. The previous 20 years, I had worked for Merrill Lynch.
Can you give us any tips here today?
Yeah,
on the podcast?
Yeah. That really wasn't my specialty, thankfully, although I still get those questions. And for those of you tuning in, it's a very volatile time in the financial markets. But anyway.
And we are not making any recommendations whatsoever.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, past performance is no indication of future results. So I did work for Merrill Lynch. The vast majority of my 20 years there, I was a nonprofit governance consultant. And so I went to board meetings for a living, is what people would joke and say, is nonprofit board meetings, kind of as an investment parliamentarian, talking to an organization about what they can do with their resources, given IRS guidelines, given their own policies and documents, and just trying to really, I would say it's stewardship. I was a stewardship consultant for a for-profit company, which is kind of an odd thing to say. But to me, it was always about stewardship. Even in the few times I got a chance to work with individuals, it was about stewardship and really trying to help folks make the most of what God had blessed them with, whether that was a corporation, a nonprofit, an individual. And so I had served the foundation since February of 2000 as a board consultant. I was consulting with their board. So I've been to every board meeting since February of 2000. So I think I've been to 87 in a row. So I know you love board meetings and you love board attendance and being a good fiduciary.
He's making fun of me now. He knows that's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, so 87 board meetings in a row. And so, again, I love board meetings. I love the structure that it brings. I love the fact that volunteers come together to give of their time for a common goal and purpose. I can see in the distance right now, Eric Brown, that's on y'all's staff, serves on our board. We got a chance to recognize Eric earlier today. He is a great example of a person serving in a capacity that's not his job, but it's a volunteer role, and really leaning into that and bringing to the table the areas of which God's gifted you and equipped you. And so God's gifted us all with a mind. We can all think clearly and lean into the judgment and discernment he blesses us with. And so really, that's been my job for the last, I've been at the foundation now 7 years. I focused on nonprofit consulting the last 12 years I was at Merrill Lynch. So really for nearly 20 years of my life, it's been trying to help ministries like the foundation think clearly in regards to stewardship.
Okay. So tell us then out there in the audience, I don't know if it's a proper question to say how many, what's the number of assets that y'all manage, but also too, quick question, because it's farm related. I mean, farmland, ag investments, let's talk about that. And then we're going to talk about some other things in regard to some of these ag folks will be interested in.
Yeah, tell us about that. Typically what we measure more so than how many assets we manage at any given time is what we're able to distribute to ministry in a year. Okay. And so typically we're distributing about $30 million to ministry each year. And some of that is earnings off of farm property. So anytime, typically in Arkansas, in a Southern Baptist church, if they're given a farm, we're usually contacted. We're kind of a gift administrator, and we describe it as any gift that's got hair on it. But, so anything that's just a little unusual, pretty much all our churches can process a cash or check. That's pretty easy. But any of that other stuff, vehicles, equipment, land, security gifts. You talked about financial markets earlier. We typically get those calls.
So someone said, hey, I got an 04020. It's worth a lot of money, and I'm going to donate that to the church. And it's not for them just to bush hog the backyard with, but that church could probably give you a call and go, hey, we got this piece of equipment here. We don't know what to do with it, how to process it.
And that's right. We would walk them all the way through that.
Yes.
And so we'd walk them all the way through that. And again, it's all over the place. We've had churches be given old restaurants that were functioning, and then we've had all kinds of different pieces of property. A lot of our transactions are property related, when you talk about farms, so we've got a church in East Arkansas that received a farm a long time ago. That the family was very meaningful. The family had a wish that the church continue the farm, even though they had no one in their family to continue it. So we employ a farm manager, Southern Baptist man out of Central, matter of fact, that manages that farm property for us. And we distribute the net farm income to that church. And so it's part of that church's budget. And so we're holding a farm in trust in an LLC to limit the church's liability, but the church is receiving a regular distribution farm income.
Well, let me ask you this, Bobby. So two questions here right now.
Yeah.
What's the importance of someone having a will?
Okay.
Or trust or something like that, but a will, I guess. And then if someone is out there and says, hey, you know what? I'm in a situation here, Lord's blessed, and my family's taken care of, but I want to bless the Lord and use it for the Lord's work. How can they go about that and maybe donating that?
Sure. This situation, this farm I was talking about in East Arkansas, it was left through an estate. You had a family member in that church pass away, had no other family that cared to farm that ground, but they wanted to leave it for the church. So I would say everyone needs a will, okay? If you had our attorney on here, probably everyone needs a trust. But, that may or may not be true.
So what? Okay, when you say a will, what happens if someone... Usually if they die and they don't have a will.
And so if you don't have a will, then you have to go to the laws of the state in which you reside. And so in Arkansas, that may be a next of kin thing. And whether or not the next of kin is the right person or not. The reason we would say use a will or trust is that way we can record your wishes. And typically we're dealing with believers. And so typically God has laid some convictions on them, either about all their assets collectively or piece by piece. And so you take a farm place or a family farm, and someone may say, well, look, I'm going to leave my retirement account to my wife, or I'm going to leave it somewhere else. But man, the family farm, that I want to leave that to that church in that community or have it still bless that local place. And so we're able to, whether it's a beneficiary deed or whether we record it in the will itself, we're able to really secure that so that when that person passes away, we've got knowledge of that gift, and we've got it drafted in such a way to where those wishes aren't challenged or disturbed or lost or forgotten. It's not like, well, I told Brother Archie what I wanted to do with it. No, we're talking about actually buttoning it up, getting it on paper, getting it notarized. And so the other thing that allows, there's a balance here of trying to weigh what does my family need, and then what is the right stewardship thing for me to do. So, like, for example, my wife and I, we have two daughters. They're teenagers now. But what we've chosen to do is to treat ministry or our church like a third child. So if something were to happen to my wife and I, everything we have would be divided in thirds. Okay. So that, I'm not saying that's right for everybody. That's what we chose to do. We often hear folks say, hey, I want to tithe on my estate. I want to tithe on those things, give 10% of those things I've accumulated. And then you'll be amazed. We have hundreds of Arkansas Baptists that leave everything to some form of ministry. And when I say everything, I mean everything. I mean, we're doing estate auctions, selling the proceeds of the house, cleaning things out. I mean, so, and really we're there to meet Arkansas Baptists wherever God has brought them. So if God's pricked their heart in a way about leaving a legacy or a state gift, we just want those wishes recorded. And then we want to create a system where we can carry those out without outside fees and cost involved. And so, and again, we want to come alongside the church. And when the church receives that gift, like this church, and they start to receive that farm, okay, Miss Smith's wishes were, don't sell that farm. You need to operate it. And so if we're going to operate it, how do we best do that? So part of it's the conversations with the giver, and then part of it's with that church that's receiving that to be sure that that stewardship continues in a way.
So in a normal setting, in a business setting, then normally someone who did what you did or some company that does what you do, there's going to be a fee structure. There's going to be something that's charged. It's going to cost something to happen. Well, what is that going to cost the individual, the church, anything, or management fee?
No. Our lawyer works in a ministry capacity. We pay his salary. And so there's no cost for him preparing documents for any minister like yourself in denominational service, or any Arkansas Baptist church member looking to leave 10% or more to the local church. We prepare those drafts for free. Now, oftentimes we'll encourage those individuals, if they have a secular attorney they're using, go review those drafts with them. You know, make sure it ties in with everything else you've done. Because sometimes we're just seeing a piece. You know, we're just seeing the piece they want to leave the church. But there's other times, those cases where they're living 100% to ministry, where we see the full picture. And we're able to really speak into that. And then on the church side, we don't charge the church anything either to assist them in those transactions. Now, there may be an example of that farm. We use a farm manager. That farm manager is going to assess a fee and usually get a percentage of the farm operational income. But the foundation doesn't benefit financially one way or the other. We're just there to serve in that capacity.
So if someone is listening to this podcast and they say, hey, I need to, I'm a part of a Southern Baptist church in Arkansas, and I know there you have ministry partners similar to what you do in other states. So they would just need to contact their state convention, those who may be listening to this. But if a person said, hey, I want to do this, would they need to just contact their church? Would they need to contact Arkansas Baptist Foundation? How would they do that?
So they can contact us directly if they choose. Most of our engagements are through what we would say church referrals, where a church either through its pastor or a senior adult minister contacts us and say, hey, we have someone in our church that has a desire to benefit the church. Will you work with them? That's usually how it happens. Okay. Folks can certainly contact us directly, you know, info@abf.org, just info@abf.org. You could visit our website at abf.org/legacies, actually, where you can start an estate plan online, 5-minute survey. Stimulates an email to our attorney. He immediately follows up to prepare those draft documents. But most of that is best done. We think sharing the information, you know, for the church member to share with someone in the church what they're wanting to do, so we're all on the same page, is the best scenario. No one wants that surprise gift. Although we all like gifts, the surprise gifts sometimes catch us off guard, catch us flat footed. So it's best to talk about it if we can ahead of time.
When you mentioned, you said $30 million a year?
Yes, sir.
Is distributed to ministries?
Yes, sir.
So, for instance, like, explain that.
Yeah,
explain
so really, yeah, really, it's there's three components to that, and they're not always equal. Every year is a little different. About a third of that typically is earnings off of investments. So we administer just over 1,300 different gift accounts. And at any given time, those
when you say a gift account, is it someone who they gave or whatever, and that's to be used for the purpose, or a church, it was given to a church.
That's right.
And so what you're doing, you're managing that money was left to the church, and then so there's a
distribution that comes off of that. So, like, for example, I'll give a great example. So today, we had the opportunity to announce that we're going to set up a scholarship and honor David Bond, an individual that passed away that worked in our convention. Well, that'll be another gift account that we'll administer. And so all the money that goes into that scholarship fund, we'll collect applications, scholarships to benefit students going to Wichita Baptist University. We'll make a disbursement every fall and every spring. And so we've got 1,300 some odd of those type arrangements, mission funds, church designated funds, scholarships. It runs the gamut.
So I guess what I'm trying to get at, here's what I'm wanting you to answer then. If someone says, hey, I want to benefit the kingdom of God, don't know exactly how to do that. I want to go with a trustworthy source. I want to partner here in Arkansas or in one of their Baptist state conventions to do that. Then even their resources, they're getting spread out in areas of ministry and distribution. So they're benefiting our Baptist colleges in Arkansas.
Yeah. So when we distribute, well over 60% of our distributions of the last year went to Arkansas ministries. Now, you need to know that nearly every gift we administer is designated already. So our board does not have any real discretion over how that's distributed. So we're literally just carrying out the instructions of that donor. And so, again, some years we'll file a report every year at this annual meeting that records our distributions from the last year. And some years it's pretty consistent. 60% stays in Arkansas, but some years more goes to one school versus the other, one ministry over the other. Our board's not deciding that. That's just an aggregation of gifts we got to process for individuals. But very rarely does a person come to us that doesn't already know what ministry they want to benefit.
Okay.
And so mostly the two primary areas we see are our schools of education, Williams and Wichita, our family ministries, Arkansas Baptist Children and Family Ministries, and then their local church. That's probably 90% of what we distribute in Arkansas is in one of those three areas.
So someone can give a gift that may be a large gift or a small gift, whatever, but you can manage that. And even off that, the resources that come from that may be good investing or whatever goes back into that local church.
Yeah. So most scholarship funds, for example, we use a spending plan fund that has an annual distribution of roughly 5%. And so we distribute roughly 5% to the beneficiary and continue to have the corpus invested if that's what we were instructed to do. The other third, so those are kind of investments and earnings type. The other third of our distributions are often estate distributions. Someone's passed away. We've been called in to help process and administer that estate in such a way that it gets to the end purpose. And then the third category is what we just call pass-through gifts. And it's, again, someone calls and says, hey, I've got 100 shares of Walmart and I want to give it to my church. And we take receipt of it, process it, get the money onto the church. And so those are just really kind of ins and outs. And so those things, at any given time, they're about $8 to $10 million, $8 to $12 million each year in those three categories. And so we've really been blessed. We've experienced an unbelievable time of God's favor. In the 7 years I've been there, we've seen average distributions of $28 to $30 million a year. And if you look at the 60 plus years before, you know, we probably averaged less than $5 million in distributions. And so it's just amazing what God has allowed us to see and what he's allowed us to be a part of in funding ministry in Arkansas.
Wow. Well, to all the folks out there listening, then, if you are interested in this, how can they contact you? Say info@abf.org.
We've got 10 folks that serve right there in the Baptist building in Little Rock, Arkansas. Wonderfully called people that are gifted to really help. And we'd love to serve you.
Hey, and I would say this too. I know that you out there listening probably thinking, we don't know who this Bobby Thomas guy is. We don't know who that Archie Mason guy is. But I can tell you with Bobby, is that he does have a calling. Bobby is a very intelligent individual and was very successful with Merle Lynch before he accepted this calling into this position he's in now. And so he is serving Arkansas Baptist, but he's serving really all those who have a heart for the kingdom. And so if you'd like to, again, get in touch with him, you can do that. But also, too, as you mentioned, contact your local church. Mm-hmm. Just tell them, hey, I heard a podcast and kind of interested in this. Would you contact the Arkansas Baptist State Convention there, the foundation? and talk with Bobby Thomas. So, Bobby, thanks for being on here with us today.
Sure. And, Archie, thank you. And I really appreciate what you're doing for farmers. My grandfather was a farmer in Crittenden County in Proctor, Arkansas, in the Crawfordsville area. Unfortunately, nobody in the family chose to keep farming. But, hey, I love you guys out there. You farmers, stay after it. We're praying for you. We're with you. We know the challenges that you face. And like I said, if we can serve you in any way, we're here.
Yeah. Hey, Bobby, thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for being with us. Well, folks, as always, you can always catch us back each Monday. This podcast will drop. We are into, I don't know exactly which episode it is now, but it's several that we've been having. Thank you for being part of the listening audience. We have a large audience that's listening all across almost all of our states now and plus different countries. So, again, thank you for being with us. As always, check us out, agrihealth.net. A lot of resources there. You can contact me directly, archie@agrihealth.net, just with an email. I'll be happy to help you in any form or fashion. One thing about Bobby and I, too, we're followers of Christ. If you have any questions, anything going on in your life, you say, man, I need somebody to pray for me, or I got a question about this or that, please reach out to either one of us. We'd love to visit with you. If you're not a part of a good Bible-believing church, especially here in Arkansas, we've got a lot of good ones. We'll get you into the right place. All right. Hey, God bless. Have a great day. Till next week, keep farming and keep the faith.
You've been listening to That Farm Life Podcast, Planting Hope, Harvesting Strength, with your host, Archie Mason. That Farm Life Podcast is a creation of the AgriHealth Network in conjunction with Grounded Faith Ministries, where we offer opportunities to help you deal with the stress and strains of farm life through faith, family, and community with other farmers. You can learn more about who we are and what we do on our website at agrihealth.net. That's agrihealth, one word, .net. Thanks for listening, and until next week, keep the faith.